As we come to God's Word, we will look afresh to the Lord, that the author of the book will reveal Himself and His purpose and will for our lives through the Word. Our loving Eternal Father, we know that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. And we pray that this day Thou wilt help us to give ourselves afresh to Thee, to Thy will, to Thy service. We pray that the will of God will be done daily in our lives. So, Lord, minister to us, speak to each of us from the sacred page, and grant, Lord, that we will profit. We know that when our hearts are exercised unto godliness, it is profitable for the life that now is and for that which is to come. O, breathe upon us by Thy Spirit, we pray, and give knowledge and wisdom from Thyself, we ask, in the Savior's name. Amen. We will open our Bibles together at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And in verse 5, David says, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" David was troubled over the fact that while he lived in a house of cedar, the Ark of God, that symbol of the divine presence, it dwelt between curtains. David longed in his heart that a temple would be built in Jerusalem to the glory of God. He personally would not be the builder of it. That responsibility rested on Solomon's shoulders. Nevertheless, David had a part in this wonderful project. The costly materials, he gathered them all. He spared no effort in doing so. The gold and silver, brass and iron, the precious stones, the marble, the choice wood, David earnestly and diligently prepared them. Enthused, animated by it all, David sought to arouse the interest and the energy of all his people in the project. To erect an edifice so costly and magnificent as the temple, this was truly a great work. It required the participation and the dedication of every heart. So David sounded out this rallying cry in verse 5. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Great as that work was, the building of the spiritual temple is an even greater work. The builder and the maker of the spiritual temple is God. All in it are God's workmanship. Without question, David was most selective in his choice of stone and timber. But the spiritual temple is built of living stones, every one of them chosen of God. The material temple, the glory of God filled it so that the priests could not minister there. But in his spiritual temple, the Lord dwells not in a bright cloud, but his own immediate presence is felt there. There all the glory of the Godhead is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The material, the literal temple, the Romans destroyed it. But the spiritual temple will endure forever. In Revelation chapter 21 and the third verse, John can say, "Behold, the tabernacle," or the meaning is, "the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." We are workers together with God in this great task of propagating the gospel, making Christians disciples of all nations. The call to consecration in this, the greatest of all works, it falls on our ears this morning. May it be wrought into our hearts. May we be moved to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Amaziah, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 18, he pledged himself to David in these words. He said, "Thine are we, David, on thy side, thou son of Jesse." May we take the sentiments of those words and say, "Thine are we, Lord Jesus, and on thy side, thou son of God." As we consider David's call to consecration, notice with me, first of all, the scope of the call. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? We can see that this is a general, all-embracing call. None are excluded. No one is left out. All who are the people of God are required to give themselves, consecrate themselves to his royal service. When the Israelites left Egypt, Moses said to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 26, "Our cattle shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God." In other words, all that the Israelites had, all was laid at God's disposal. It was placed on the altar for him. We think of the occasion when the wise men came to worship the Lord Jesus. They presented to him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Nothing was withheld. The wise men were of one mind to give all that they had. We see that Solomon, here in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1, was young and tender. In his youth, he gave himself to God. In his youth, he gave himself to this great work of building the temple. And there is no better time in which to give ourselves up to the Lord's service than in our youth. Among all the blessings the Lord showers on David in Psalm 103, there is this choice one mentioned in verse 5. "Thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Perhaps there had been a decline in David's spiritual vigor and enthusiasm. The renewing of what he had lost is just like the reliving of his youth. Youth especially is the prime time for the highest service. We know that David was but a youth when he stepped forward and took on Goliath. Joseph was a young man when he sought the admiration, when he caught the admiration of Pharaoh and his servants for his godliness. Samuel was a boy, a child, when he ministered to the Lord before Eli. Oh, away with that saying, youth for pleasure, age for business, old age for religion. Let the devil have the prime and God the dregs. What flawed, foolish reasoning. Could it be that we have lost the vigor, the drive, the enthusiasm of our youth? Has there been a wearing down of our spiritual stamina? The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Have we become weary in well-doing? The promise of David's youth being renewed like the eagles, we can lay hold of it today. We think of when the eagle feeds. It's then equipped to soar into the heavenlies. And when we feed on Christ, on his word, the inner man is renewed. And when we seek the Lord, we regain our strength. That's what's before us in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Verse 30 speaks of even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Oh, may we know the renewing of our youth in the Lord's service. Oh, not for thee, my weak desires, my poorer, baser part. Oh, not for thee, my fading fires, the ashes of my heart. Oh, choose me in my golden time, in my dear joys have part. For thee the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. So we see the scope of this call. But then secondly, we come to the stimulation of the call. This call to consecration was stimulated by David's personal, his glowing example. Look at verse 2. David is speaking, and he says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold, for things to be made of gold. The silver, the brass, the iron, the wood, the onyx stones, the glistering stones of diverse colors, all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance." This is what David has accumulated. What a glowing example he is. In his battles and wars, much spoil was captured. From it, David gathered up the necessary materials for the building of the house of God. And in addition to that, he dipped into his own personal treasury of gold and silver. Notice carefully in verse 3. He says, "Moreover, In addition, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, or from my own private possessions, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And in verse 4, he goes on to say, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver. The gold of Ophir is mentioned. It was reckoned to be the choicest, the purest, the finest gold to be gotten in the world. And you'll notice concerning the silver that it was refined silver. In other words, these metals, it was the very best that David gave to the Lord. David was not like those in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 8, who offered to God the lame, the sick, the torn. As far as those people in Malachi 1 were concerned, their offerings to God wearied them. They found it difficult to contribute to those offerings. They reckoned their worst was good enough. On the other hand, David gave of his best. He went the extra mile. It was not a question of how little he could get away with giving. David was determined, you will see, in verse 3, to give over and above all that he had donated up to that point. David was the founder of the over and above all movement. Why all the effort and expense? He contributed, not as a Roman Catholic might, to the building of a church in an act of penance or in an effort to make atonement for sin. Nor did he contribute as the Pharisee might, giving alms to be seen of men. Here's how David contributed in verse 3. Because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Here's the secret of his giving. I have set my heart, in other words, on the Lord, on his house. The zeal which David went about this work is highlighted in Psalm 132, in the opening part of the psalm, when David says, Lord, remember me and all my afflictions. The verse 2 says how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. When David came to power, Jerusalem was deserted. There was no place for the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, there had been protracted discussions, but nothing had been done. David rose up one particular morning. He made this solemn vow that he would not go back to sleep until he had set the wheels in motion regarding the building of the house of God, the temple. What an example. According to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, we are to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Here's the right spirit of provocation. We are to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. David certainly stimulated his people by his glowing example. Over and above all, oh, let us join this movement, sign up to it, sign up to give and do over and above all than we have ever given or done heretofore. The Lord Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And in light of Calvary, may we say with Paul, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In light of the mercies that we have received through the gospel, may we daily give ourselves as a sacrifice and an offering to God. And then thirdly, we see the spontaneousness of the call. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? David required of his people an instant, an immediate, a spontaneous response. There was to be no delay. And in the Lord's service, what we do, we must do quickly. In John chapter 9, the Lord Jesus in verse 4, he has this to say to us. John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The king's business requires haste. These searching questions are found in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 5. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? The fathers have gone the way of all flesh, and the prophets will do likewise. Oh, David was keenly aware of just how short and brittle life is. Here in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15, do you see how he says, we are strangers before thee, sojourners as were all our fathers, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. Life is fleeting. It's just like a vapor. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 gives us these words of counsel. Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every day is lost that is not spent laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves break through nor steal. Oh, I have only one life to live on this earth. And as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life to give, I could never withhold it from God. Only one life, I must not miss the well done of God. And we see, lastly, the sublimity of this call. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who is the Lord? As far as David is concerned, we see who the Lord is to him in verse 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. What exalted views David had of the Lord. People today speak of the man above. The Lord is the King of glory. He is the eternal Son. All glory and honor and might and dominion and majesty belong to him. And he is to be crowned in the hearts of us who are his as the Lord of all. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, there's a mention of the Lord's government and peace, of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. That word government speaks of authority, the Lord's authority, his lordship. And when the heart is at peace with God, through the blood of the cross, the Lord is to be reigning therein. He is to be crowned the Lord of all. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13 brings to us a parallel passage. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. He shall bear the glory, the verse says, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. Christ, as a priest, has made peace for us with God. But he will be a priest on the throne. All things were created for him and by him. We have been made new creatures to live to the praise of his glory. Paul said of Christ, whose I am and whom I serve. Oh, may that be true of you and I, that the Lord Jesus is the Lord of our lives. This word consecrate, you will notice in the margin of your Bible, it means to fill the hand. We are to fill our hands, come to the Lord, engage in his service with full hands. Oh, there's so much to be done. All who give themselves to his work will have their hands full. The woman with the alabaster box, she broke it and she poured it on the Lord's head. And the scriptures tell us in Mark chapter 14 and verse 8, she hath done what she could. And the Lord expects no less than that from you and me. May we fill our hands then full of labor, doing all that we can to glorify our Savior and to exalt His name together. May we gladly spend and be spent in the service of our King of Kings. The Lord is the good master. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His ways are the ways of pleasantness and peace. Can you affirm that? Can you say, yes, I know that from personal experience? Or is the Lord a stranger to you? All who were in distress, in debt, everyone that was discontented came to David in the cave of Adullam. They found refuge with him. And so, in all your need, unconverted soul, come to the greater David. Come to Christ, the Savior of the ends of the earth. The Lord has said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. To have life is to have Christ as Savior and Lord. Oh, may you, if you're not converted, may you give up your sin, break off with your sin, and make the work of the cross your salvation this day. May you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Him that cometh, he has said, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless his word to each of our lives. We will bow together in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank thee for what we have learned and read of David. We praise thee for his readiness to give his all to the great work of building a material temple. And we know, Lord, that thou hast called us to be laborers together with God in the building of a greater temple, a spiritual temple, a temple made of living stones, quarried out of the horrible pit and brought up from the miry clay. O Lord, thou hast put a great work into our hands. Thou hast said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. O Lord, help us each one who are thine to give ourselves afresh to thee and to thy high and royal service. May we have done with lesser things, and may we go forth serving the King of Kings with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. And those, Lord, in this gathering who are not thine, oh, we pray that thou wilt have mercy and draw them irresistibly to thy cross, for none shall perish there. Bless thy word, write it upon our hearts, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.